Nine Podcasts.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Tom. As Oscar Wilde once said,
ultimately the bond of all companionship, whether in marriage or in friendship, is conversation.
Welcome to our husband-wife podcast, The Elliot Exchange. What could possibly go wrong?
Find out with us by tapping the follow or subscribe button on The Elliot Exchange, wherever you get your podcast.
Hi there, Tom.
Hello, Elise.
Now, what's your note of love from the past week? Something you've seen, done or experienced that's made you go, oh, I love that.
Well, it involves, it occurred just yesterday. It was our wedding anniversary and I invited you to come to the gym with me, with my training group.
I cannot.
And you said yes, and I was so pleased to see you. You know, Jared and Crofty and Kano and Church and you know, we did the circuit, the Monday night, it's called the X Oh My God circuit, XOMG, and you smashed it.
You didn't so much as invite me. I said, what are we doing for our wedding anniversary? And you said, I'm going to the gym. Why don't you come?
Yeah, I'd already bought you a pass.
It was so bad. And I really thought, you know, we revealed to the world about your momentary lapse of romance, the throw your arms around me debacle. I thought you might have learnt from that lack of romance under the tree to step up. And can I tell you something?
Yes.
I packed a really hot dress and high heels thinking it was a ruse. Right, so you're going to go, yeah, it's gym, it's 35 degrees with all the sweaty guys. And I'd arrive and you go, ta-da, I'm whisking you off to a hotel for the night and viewed them on for dinner and champagne, darling. But no.
Well, we did go to a hotel for dinner.
I went to a pub.
Yeah, well, that's what a hotel is.
Tom.
And it wasn't 35 degrees in the gym because they had the air conditioning on. So,
hanging out with your boyfriend, sweaty, on a 35-degree day while you're all grunting, doing your little boy thing in the gym, is not my idea of a wedding
well, again,
anniversary.
Again, I might say there are girls in that session as well. So two of the 76-odd genders that one can be these days.
I was in a group chat about this pending wedding anniversary situation with my mum, our daughter, and my two best friends. And they all thought you were going to deliver. They were all rooting for you, terrible choice of words, and hoping that you'd deliver. But no. Do you know what our daughter said? She said, Mum, if I was married to you, I would. She had a plan of how the night should go, but it also involved George Michael in the corner singing Careless Whisper. And I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no
rhythm. Though it's easy to pretend, I know you're not. Well, he's dead, so. And I might add he's gay or was gay, so.
He's not participating. He's just providing a bit of ambiance.
Anyway, what's your note of love to me?
Well, I feel bereft
right.
And empty of love on that front because really I think after 12 years. And do you not even know what 12 years was? Do you know what what's the present supposed
Isn't
to
it
be?
Cardboard or something? Silk. That's
linen,
right. Yes.
I'm still waiting for the silk
it's
smalls.
Coming.
All right. Yeah, right. What next year? No, it goes to one of said people, women, who made me a beautiful cup of tea and bought me some sage to protect me from
sage?
Yeah. You burn it and it's like
what does that do?
It protects you.
How?
Toxic people.
Is that like an American Indian thing?
No, I think it's more, it's probably Indian, I imagine. So that goes out to A, who does listen. Thank you, sweetheart. My note of love goes to a girlfriend for showing a bit of love.
That's the note of love.
We love your emails here. We never really solve anything, do we? I mean, I feel bad for these people that email in and we sort of go around in circles, but do we get to the bottom of it?
Well, we have an interesting one this week from Jenny. She says, I have a very good friend to whom I loaned $200. That's excellent English there, because she was in between jobs. However, my friend has now been working full-time for a few months and she is booking holidays, buying clothes, purchasing makeup while I am with her and she hasn't mentioned the money. When can I ask for it back and how do I bring it up?
Okay, my granddad taught me a lesson. Never a borrower or lender be. It never, ever ends well. It's not about being tight. You can be very, very generous with your friends, but don't lend money. Mm. It never ends well. And the humiliation, the frustration of having to ask for that money back is bad. And then when you see someone living the life of Riley when they indeed owe you money, that's a terrible
thing. Yeah, I think I would say to Jenny, and also for an amount like $200, like I don't know Jenny's own personal circumstances, but it's better just treat it as a gift. Write it off as though you'd given it to, I don't know, someone begging on the street or whatever, and don't expect anything back.
Right.
And then if you happen to get something back, treat that as a bonus. But the only other way to do it is to actually write out a loan agreement, you know,
With interest?
Yeah, we'll repay you $200 at a rate of 10% per annum because, you know, interest rates have gone up.
Yeah.
Signed, dated, stamped.
I think what you can do is buy them something to help in a situation. Like, I don't know, do a massive Coles delivery, for example, or, I don't know, take them out for dinner or something, but lending money.
But don't, as I said, just give them the money.
Oh, right.
And mentally say, I'm never getting that back. Yeah. I'm helping out a friend and don't ever think about it again.
Tom, a social video of a schoolboy has gone viral after he shared his utter excitement with his mum about a classic role he picked up at the school nativity play. Check this out.
Guess what I am for the nativity? I'm a classic one.
Classic role, is it? Classic part?
Yeah.
Joseph?
No.
One of the three wise men?
No.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing! Holding doors for who?
Probably... Joseph and Mary.
Oh my gosh, were you pleased when they said that?
And I was like, I'm a door holder, get in there, let's go, yes.
Get in there, let's go, yes. I love this for two reasons. The sheer enthusiasm of this kid about really what is an A-list role in the nativity play. So obviously the teacher's couched it as, all right, kiddo, I think you're going to be not door holder number one, not number two, number three.
Number three.
But he's stoked about it. And I want to know, Tom, what's the crappiest role you've had in life that you actually were secretly a bit stoked about or didn't really realise?
Well, I was only picked, I think, for one play. No, two. So my grandmother used to make us do a nativity play each Christmas when we were little.
What, all the cousins?
Yeah, yeah, and she'd write out scripts for all of us.
Sure. What, deviating from the Bible?
No. It was very close to the Bible. She was a very religious woman at the local East Kew Anglican Church.
Stop it. What were you?
Well, I was the angel.
You are so
angel. And she gave me a script. And I said, I am the angel of the Lord. She said, it's angel. I said, well, you've written angle here. So that's what it is. I'm the angle of the Lord. She transposed the letters.
Little SH. I can't believe that.
The other one, and then in year 9 at school, there was a play, and I recently caught up with the teacher who was the drama master.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Morgan, if you're listening. Anyway, the play was called Elegant Edward, and it's a little known sort of comedy of manners about a gentleman thief and a common burglar who both decide to rob the same house at the same time. They get confused about who's doing what. Anyway, I was the common burglar called Burglar Bill, and I had to try and do a Cockney accent, which doesn't work. I mean, a lot of people overseas, when they're asked to do an Australian accent, end up doing Cockney. Yeah.
Can you give us a little flavour?
All right then, Governor. You know, that sort of thing. And then my friends who had the somewhat unfortunate name of Matthew Bates, M. Bates, and of course his nickname was The Master. He was Elegant Edward, and we both forgot our lines and started improvising on stage. And I just remember looking side stage and seeing the drama master just with his head in his hands shaking it.
So bad.
And recently he contacted me and he brought it up.
And said he's had 40 years of therapy trying to get over it.
Like, you know, we spent so long. How did you manage to stuff it up? So that was my treading the boards.
I was not a very good dancer. I know it's hard to believe, but I was sort of forced into ballet and interpretive dance at an early age. And one year I went as a falling autumn leaf.
Right.
And Mum dressed me up in a brown skivvy and brown tights.
Yep.
Six.
Well, it's the late 1970s.
Yeah, I am like 5, 6. And then I had my brother's Scouts cap inside out, and then Mum sewed on autumn leaves, but they dried up and sort of all were all crunchy by the end of it. And we have established I was a little bowling ball when I was younger, a little vertically challenged and probably a little rotund. And I wasn't so much as an – and I remember – I even remember the dance, sort of da-na-na-na-na, like that. And that was very Mr. G, wasn't it?
Rather than ma'am, like other kids, I would go ma'am, you know, instead of ma'am.
And it was more like, yeah, a bowling ball going down a bowling ball alley than a really beautiful leaf cut. But I thought I was ace until my brothers have recounted the story and said I was just – shocking.
So right, so you thought you were like door holder number three.
I was door holder number three.
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
In my own mind. Mm. And no, I felt more like I was Jesus, right?
Right.
But I was in actual fact.
Well, Jesus in Nativity plays is actually normally just played by a doll. Like that, you don't actually have an actor.
Well, I played Jesus, grown up Jesus in a play.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
did you?
At a Catholic school. Yeah. What? I was a grown up Jesus. I was wearing a caftan. What?
As in, well, it was all girls' school.
And I had to get carried after I got crucified
on
the cross.
But does that mean girls played the male roles?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you're like an early advocate for transgenderism?
100%. So I had to get nailed to the cross.
Right.
And then taken down and carried out. That was not a high point of my thespian life.
Well, this is where the Easter message can get a bit confusing for children. So I tried to kill my sister twice, or at least twice when we were young. Yeah. Once my mother, we were having a bath together. As you know, we weren't 16, 17. We were three and two.
Stop. Go on.
Anyway, my mother came in and apparently, I don't have no memory, I was holding her head under the water. Yeah. And then another time, a year or so later, after observing the Easter message, she found me with hammer and nails and I tied her to a tree in the back garden and was trying to, you know, get the line up the nail on the palm of her hand.
Terrible.
I don't think she's forgiven
resurrection,
me.
Resurrection. Anyway, my message to people is you are what you believe you are.
That's right. I mean, that kid, you know, thing is he's happy.
And the irony is he's incredibly famous now and will probably be Jesus next year.
And who knows, he may develop a serious talent for holding open doors. Okay, at least well-known comedian from, probably best known from The Office, Ricky Gervais, is under fire for saying this.
I've been doing a lot of video messages recently for terminally ill children. I did a lot through the pandemic, presumably because they couldn't even see their own family. And it's through Make-A-Wish Foundation. Do you know the charity Make-A-Wish Foundation? They're great. And they give these dying kids their, like, one wish. And if it's me, I always say yes. And I always start the video the same way. I go, why didn't you wish to get better? Wow. I don't do that either, okay? These are all jokes, all right?
Oh. Now, that was on a Netflix stand-up special called Armageddon, being the operative word. In a clip, he posted to his social media pages last week that he jokes about making videos for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, as we read in the New York Post. What do you think about this?
Oh, look, I think it's a case of punching down. Like, you know, every parent's worst nightmare obviously would be to have a terminally ill child. And I think, whereas, you know, I think Ricky, or not Ricky Gervais, but when Christopher Rock made a joke about Will Smith's ex-wife, that was okay because they're all on the same level, right? He made a joke about her semi-bald head. To talk about kids who are facing end-of-life illnesses, you know, as baldies, and why didn't you make a wish to get better? I just don't think a parent with a child in that circumstance would laugh. And so I don't think it was good. And normally I find Ricky Gervais really funny, but it does, there is always a line and I think he crossed it there.
100%. So I was appalled by this. I look, part of me feels sorry for comedians because so many of them are being cancelled and people are being oversensitive and you can't really joke about a lot, but there is a definite line. Sick kids is the line you don't cross. Mm. And it's not funny to anyone.
Well, the audience did laugh.
But I think it was almost nervous laughter as
well. Yeah, maybe. Like, did he really say that?
Did he? Shocking. And look, I know Ricky deals in very caustic humour. That's his wheelhouse. He's very abrasive. He pushes boundaries in some of his speeches where he hosts events. Everyone's sort of quaking in fear, but that's part of the excitement. But this is just no go. And he's got to look at himself in the mirror and go, you know what, you're a bit of a...
Well, one thing you know about Ricky Gervais. Now, here's another thing. Is it Gervais or is it Gervais? Oh, I believe it's a French word. You speak fluent French.
Well, look, if in French, without the E on the end, it should be je vais.
Je vais.
Je vais.
But if he, but if, see.
But because he's like a little, you know, he'll call Wiki, probably with a W, Gervais.
But if you mispronounce your own name, is that okay? Like, for example, there was a footballer for the West Coast Eagles who sadly is no longer with us. And he was, his name is Chris, well, Mannering, as in Captain Mannering from Dad's Army.
Isn't that Man
Mainwaring? But see, but that's the mispronunciation. Yeah, yeah. It's spelt Mainwaring,
yeah,
but it's pronounced Mannering. But the problem is, it's his name, and if he chooses to mispronounce it, well, then you sort of got to go with that,
you? You go with it.
So if Ricky Gervais calls himself Gervais, yeah, even if in France,
yeah,
you know, where the French people live, we wouldn't say that. Yeah. We sort of have to with him.
But getting back to the issue here with that little detour, I just think, just pull your head in, Ricky.
No, really? He'll never do it. He'll never do it.
I wonder, though, if this – I'll tell you why. My opinion of him has shifted after this. I always applauded him for pushing boundaries. I found him quite brave in a very PC world. But I heard this morning and I just – it stirred anger in me. As a parent lucky enough to have a healthy kid, it was bad enough. If you have a sick kid, how horrible. He – you know what? Shame on him.
Mm. Well, shame on him, but as I said, he won't apologise. But given the prevalence of cancel culture, I've come up with a little list of, I think, the remaining categories of people about which you can make jokes.
The last bastions of humour.
And even these will be chipped away. So redheads, now,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
In South Park they said, you know, you have no soul.
Ginger kids are born with a disease which causes very light skin, red hair and freckles. This disease is called gingivitis. And it occurs because ginger kids have no souls.
And we have a redhead who works here for our producer, Richard. His name is Alistair. And he just sort of laughs when I make jokes about him. But I suspect I'm going to be cancelled soon.
You rather fancy a redhead, though.
Oh, I think it's good. That's how I justify it. I like redheads, but you have no soul. Now, what about our cousins across the ditch in New Zealand, the Kiwis?
They are open slather.
Yeah, absolutely.
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 Yeah.
Because they're like Australians, but
weaker. Know,
there's a wonderful joke where when the smartest people from New Zealand migrate to Australia, they lower the IQ of both countries.
Yeah.
Anyway, and hello to all of our Kiwi listeners. In the same category, and you live there, Tasmanians?
The only thing, Tasmania's gone through quite a renaissance.
It has.
So when I was shipped off there in the Dark Ages, it was pretty remote and scary.
Yeah, but now they've got modern art and restaurants and
cafes.
I know.
Who would have thunk?
I mean, we used to
cocktails.
We used to go there on family holidays, and honestly, it was like going back half. Oh, we loved it, but it was like going back half a century.
Do you know what I'm spewing about? I didn't buy the house I lived in for $20,000.
You could have bought it for nothing.
Million. I know, right?
Anyway, so Taswegians, as they were.
Yeah, as they were.
We go to the British Isles, Scottish people.
Open for ribbing.
Like when I lived in England.
Because they don't laugh back.
No, they don't.
They get a bit serious.
And yeah, people would say, oh, when you get money out of the ATM in Scotland, you know, does it say, are you sure you really want the cash? Because they're known for being tight-fisted. And I might add, I went to a wedding there once and I had £10 in my pocket and that was my taxi fare home.
Yeah.
And I got there and I went to the bar to get a drink and they said, oh, that'll be £4. I said, what? Like you had to pay for your drinks at this wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked someone, I said, is that normal? It's, oh, well, you know, if it was free, people would drink too much. And I thought, well, that's normally what happens.
Do that again. You've got a better
Scottish
accent.
No, I can't do a Scottish accent.
You can.
I can't.
You can after a few whiskeys.
I don't drink whiskey because of a difficult thing I had with the tutor years ago, but we won't go into that. What about?
Well, you have to tell us that story.
Well, let's just say this tutor was a little bit flamboyant, theatrical, and he, I don't want to go into too many details because I'll get sued.
Right? No, because you're scarred.
Because he, you know, and he tried very hard to get me to stay the night in his room, and I'm pleased to say I managed to hold back.
Did you escape? I thought you woke up there
No. I managed to resist his advances, but he's.
I got the non-PG version of the story.
His technique was to get me very drunk. And he wouldn't be the first person to try that. But he had two gins with tonic before dinner, a bottle of wine during dinner. And then after dinner, he said, let's have a scotch. And he opened the bottle, a new bottle, and he squashed the top. And so that means that the top's not going on. And he just kept pouring it. Oh, I'd get through an inch or two of it. I don't really like drinking spirits. Oh, I have some more. Anyway, I got away with it, but I've never been able to drink scotch since.
Right.
Because I have that association.
It's like the Pavlovian response.
That's
Pavlov's
right.
Pavlov's dog. You start
that's right.
salivating when you hear the
Yeah, but I, well, I do the opposite of salivating. I run away.
Okay, so we've massively digressed. So let's get back to the list of things that you're allowed to joke about.
Okay, so thus far, redheads, Kiwis, Tasmanians in the old days.
Okay, I've got one. French cars.
Yeah, French cars. Anybody who drives a French car, there's something a bit wrong with
Citroen
them.
Citroen DS.
No, no.
Citroen DS from the 60s is not counted in this, but modern French cars.
You know, you see blokes, you know, wearing berets when they drive them and tweed jackets with leather on the elbows.
Mammals, the cyclist mammals.
Yeah, you can make jokes about them. Middle-aged men in Lycra.
100%.
You know, and when they walk into cafes.
A little bit seriously, don't they?
Click, click, clack.
And they've always got a bit of a pot squeezed under that Lycra.
And the reason middle-aged men love cycling is because.
It's not that hard.
Well, it's not that hard. I mean, you go down the hill, the bike does the work for you, even on the level. I mean, that's what the wheel does. It makes things easier.
Yeah.
And also, they get to spend money on heaps of gear. Mm-mm. Like as their physical capabilities are declining. Mm-mm. You know, you can say, oh, this new bike costs $30,000 and it's made of carbon fibre and Kevlar and it still doesn't go any faster, but, you know.
I would say Lambo drivers, but I got to drive and hang out with a little Lamborghini Murciélago, which actually means bat, and it was so hot.
Yeah. I think we can – let's just leave it with French cars.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
And I think rugby players.
Oh, yes.
Because – some of them, I mean, you know, let's be honest, like when you hear a footballer, like an Australian rules footballer interviewed, they don't always the sharpest tool in the shed. Some are, but some are not. But rugby players uniformly, like rugby league in particular, they just sound, oh yeah, mate, the boys and I have done real good, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Some rugby union players, you know, they go to, you know, very upmarket private schools and talk about their children, you know, Arabella and Tarquin and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, rugby is a sport. You know, really, if you can repeatedly run into a brick wall and not drop the ball, that's all you need to be capable of. And that doesn't lend itself to lots of brain cells.
So I think that list we've compiled, you're still allowed to joke about anything on that list. But for how long, Tom, before we
– I don't
know. Do you realise we could get cancelled for that list?
I know. Tasmania, they'll be coming after us with knives. Perhaps not a good idea to go to New Zealand anytime soon. Alistair, the redhead, has got a, you know, he's got a nasty look on his face outside this door.
Just don't get run over by a Rano. Yeah, Tom, what have you learnt?
Well, I've learnt that Ricky Gervais, or is it Gervais, has really upset you in a way that he perhaps hasn't done before this week. And what have you learnt, Elise?
I have learnt that you were no thespian and you did play an angle and not very well.
But it was the angle of the Lord. Now, don't forget to tap the follow or subscribe button on the Elliott Exchange wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to rate, review and share it with your friends. If you'd like to see what Elise is up to, Instagram is the place to be. Her handle is EliseElliott_media. And of course, Elise, we love emails.
At ElliottExchange@9.com.au. If you have a question you want us to answer or you just have an issue, we'll raise it, probably won't solve it.